As Christians, when we come together to hear the good news of Jesus Christ read aloud, I'll be reading this morning from the Gospel according to Mark. I'll be reading from chapter 1, verses 4 through 11, and I invite you to hear the good news. John the Baptist was in the wilderness, and he was calling for people to be baptized to show that they were changing their hearts and their lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. And everyone in Judea and all the people of Jerusalem went out to the Jordan River and were baptized by John as they confessed their sins. John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey, and he announced, "One stronger than I am is coming after me. I'm not even worthy to bend over and loosen the strap of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And about that time, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. And while he was coming up out of the water, Jesus saw heaven splitting open, and the Spirit, like a dove, came down on him. And there was a voice from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I dearly love, and you I find happiness." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thank you. Yeah, today we're beginning a new sermon series. The theme of the new series will be God Calls, and today we're going to be talking about God Calls Beloved, and what does that mean? How does that happen? Does it apply to us, and what does it mean in our lives today? Well, our gospel reading from Mark tells us about Jesus being baptized by John the Baptizer. And as Jesus stepped out of the water onto the riverbank, he saw heaven splitting open and the Spirit, like a dove, coming down on him. And there was a voice from heaven that said, "You are my Son, whom I dearly love. I find happiness in you." Now, the baptism of Jesus is reported in all of our synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And they use very much the same wording to describe the actual baptism of Jesus. As he steps out of the water, the heavens are open. The Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, comes to Jesus. It is in receiving the Holy Spirit that Jesus is identified by the voice from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I dearly love, and you I find happiness." In other words, God calls Jesus his dearly loved Son, or more frequently translated, calls Jesus his beloved when the Holy Spirit comes to him. Hear me, people. When God baptizes each of us, we receive the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes to us, God calls us beloved, his dearly loved children. We are adopted into God's family, and we too are much loved. We too are beloved. Now, we don't begin to be beloved by being good children, okay? We don't stop being beloved when we aren't particularly good children. Good things that we do don't earn us anything. Bad things that we do don't take us away from God's love. Being beloved means that God has deep compassion for us because we are his adopted children. Sometimes our actions bring God great joy, and sometimes our actions bring God great sorrow. But God always loves us. That's not to say that it doesn't matter what we do. It does matter what we do and think and say. Our choices and actions have consequences. We are in the process of becoming what we're going to be through all of eternity. So it is important that we recognize that what we do and say matters. The basic question here is, do my thoughts and or actions bring joy to God, or do they more often bring sorrow to God? Now let's talk about love for a minute. There are a few Greek words that we use to translate into English as love. One Greek word for love is eros. It is the root word for the English word erotic. Another Greek word is the love philia, which is the root word for the English word philia, philanthropist. I can't say this. Philanthropist. Philanthropist. Hey, I got it. Honestly, it's just water, I promise. Neither eros nor philia have any specific Christian connotation. Eros speaks of a sensual love. Philia speaks of a social love. The Greek word for love that we concentrate on as Christians is agape. Agape is a sacrificial love. It's the kind of love God has for us. It is a love that puts our well-being ahead of God's own well-being. Remember, he suffered and died for us, not because we earned it, not because we deserved it, but because of his great love for us, his beloved adopted children. Being adopted children, whom God calls beloved, confirms our value to God. It means that God considers us precious, confirms that we're all his people. Because we are God's beloved children, we are called to regard each other as beloved. People who are much loved by God, our brothers and sisters, whom we are commanded to love as God loves us. Sounds like a simple thing to do, right? And actually, it is a simple thing to do, but it's not an easy thing to do. It comes at a cost. It comes at a cost to God. It comes at a cost to us. That is what sacrificial love, agape, means. It costs. All right. Once more, I will turn to the Peanuts comic strip for a little insight here. Lucy announces that she wants to be a doctor when she grows up. And Linus, her little brother, says he was getting upset by the prospect of Lucy being a doctor. And he said, "Lucy, it won't work. You can never be a doctor." "And just why not?" she retorts. "Because," replies Linus, "you don't love humankind. You can't be a doctor because you don't love humankind." "But I do," Lucy insists. "I do. I love humankind. It's people I can't stand." And, you know, sometimes it's easier to think of us as a group and loving us than it is to think of us as individuals and love us. That's just the nature of the beast, you know. It's true. In fact, the great Protestant reformer Martin Luther once became so aggravated with those around him that he cried out, "If I were God, all these vile people who are so disobedient as they are now would be knocked down and the world be knocked to pieces." And Luther might well have done that, but not God. God has great love for us. God calls us beloved when he speaks to us. God calls us beloved when he speaks about us. God affirms time and again through the Bible that even though we may reject God's love, even though we may run away from God's love, even when we ignore God's love, or when our own hardness of heart may keep us from accepting God's kingdom among us, God's love remains steadfast. One thing we know we can count on is God's love for us. God continues to love us and will always make a way for us to enter into his circle of love. God calls us beloved when speaking to us and about us. And the beautiful thing is, God invites us to have that same great love for each other that God has for us. We, God's adopted children, are kingdom people, and we have the ability and the opportunity to love others as God loves us. In his book, Becoming a Whole Person in a Broken World, John Lee Davis tells of a young lady, a little girl named Marie, who was admitted into a mental hospital in Europe many years ago. Marie was in a terrible emotional state. Her parents were abusive with her and with each other. One night, when Marie was 12 years old, she witnessed her mother and father in a horrible drunken argument. They were fighting and struggling over a gun. Suddenly, a shot fired. And before the little girl's eyes, her father fell dead on the floor. Marie's mind snapped. She was filled with anger, frustration, with hatred, with pain, and with sorrow. She retreated into a fantasy world, but even that too was a violent world because it was all she had ever known. She'd scream at anyone who came close to her. Anyone who tried to talk to her, she would reach out and scratch or claw at them. She would curse them. Her attending physician tried several approaches to no avail. Marie seemed to get worse no matter what he did. Eventually, the doctor decided to try catharsis. This is a therapy that was commonly used in that time. It allowed the patient to vent their rage and anger on another person. A nurse named Hulda volunteered to be the victim for this venting. The victim for this venting was a volunteer. Every day, Hulda would enter Marie's padded cell. For an hour, Marie would scream at Hulda. She would curse and kick and scratch at Hulda. And then, exhausted, Marie would crouch down in a corner like a frightened animal. Hulda, battered, bruised, and sometimes bleeding, would always go over to Marie and hold the child tenderly in her arms, rock her gently, and say over and over, "Marie, I love you. Marie, I love you." Little by little, the message was getting through. Little by little, Marie was able to respond with some tears and some affection. Eventually, Marie was healed. She was healed by sacrificial love. You and I are healed by sacrificial love. The therapy is no longer authorized in clinics and hospitals for people with severe mental problems. It's considered too costly. No, there's only one place where a wounded and desperate person can find such sacrificial love today. Church, kingdom people, God's adopted children, beloved children of God, they're the only people in this world who will have this kind of sacrificial love for another human being. They're the only one who have experienced God's sacrificial love for them, so they understand it, and they're the only ones who knows that this sacrificial God and his love never gives up on us, never lets go of us. This God who looks at us and calls us beloved stays with us. Christians have only one commandment from the one who calls us beloved. We are commanded to love one another as God loves us. So I ask you today, how is it with your soul? How is it with your heart? Are you doing things in the relationship as God's beloved that make God happy? Are you doing things in your relationship with God and God's beloved that make God sad? As God's beloved, loving God and loving each other with a sacrificial love, this agape is what is set before us. Now today we're going to gather and take communion. It is a holy and sacred time when we confess our sins before God and one another. We repent of those sins and seek to live in peace with one another. Our communion table is an opening for all who accept the invitation, which I will offer on behalf of Jesus Christ in just a few minutes. I invite you to come to this table. Accept the opportunity to embrace God's family, be part of God's kingdom people who share agape with each other and seek to share agape with the world. Hear me, people. God calls speaking to us and concerning us. And God calls beloved.